Your Bibles this morning, if you will. I'm going to look at two separate verses of Scripture. The first one this morning in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. While you're turning, I'll ask that you pray especially for the children's program tonight at 7:30, and then on next Sunday night will be a special presentation by our choir. If things go like it has in practice, you don't want to miss either one of these, because I've seen the hand of the Lord move through both of them. And I believe we're going to have some tremendous Christmas specials down through the year. And we thank God for all of the work. There's a lot of work and time and energy and effort that goes into a lot of these special things that the church puts together for us. And we appreciate that, don't we? So be sure to invite your loved ones out to that. Encourage them to come. What is Christmas all about? Why did Christ come? The meaning of Christmas. You know, Christmas is almost taken out of the vocabulary of many of the businesses and corporation and secularism today. They just as soon take the word Christmas out and make it a holiday, because you cannot have Christmas without Christ. He is the center of Christmas. And the purpose of His coming is simple. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then, if you will, this morning, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Emmanuel, God with us. Timothy verifies this in the writing Paul to Timothy, as Paul's getting ready to spend his last few days on this earth and charging Timothy in the ministry. And he says this same wonder that happened on the first Christmas should never be lost in the gospel preaching and gospel teaching. In fact, in verse 16 of chapter 3, he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Watch this now. "God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Who is this that he's talking about? Jesus. But if this is Jesus, why did Paul say to Timothy, "He was God manifest in the flesh"? The reason that so many strive to take Christ out of Christmas is because Christ is God. We don't like that terminology. There's a lot of people that would love to do away with it, and they don't want to think of Christ in that manner. But you have to understand that God is a spirit, Jesus had a body, and God promised the outpouring of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. But God is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And therefore, if we remove Christ, we remove the emphasis of God at Christmas time. Oh, I feel the Lord this morning. A lot of folks say, "Well, that's impossible that all three could be God." Well, that's not what John teaches. There's three that bear record in heaven. We know who those three are, and they're God. And someone said, "Why, preacher, how can that be?" Well, myself, I've thought many times, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm a son. Now I'm at the stage where I fulfill all three roles. But there was time when I was just a son. Are you getting this morning? But then I got married, I became a husband, but I was still a son. Then came the time when I had children. I was a father, but I was still a husband, and I was still a son. If you ask my parents, "Is he your son?" they'd say yes. You ask my wife, "Is he your husband?" they'd say yes. You ask my children, "Is that your father?" they'd say yes. I am all three. Why is that important? Because if we don't see that, if we don't see the fact that Jesus is God, then what happens is we just make this a holiday instead of a holy day. It no longer has the emphasis that it should have from the Word of God. God came in the form of a babe, born of a virgin for a particular reason. That's why He was virgin born. He was God. purity. That's why he came of a virgin. That's why the virgin birth is so important and so significant in the day we live in. Why did Jesus come? Why was he gone? What happened on that first Christmas? Let me tell you what happened when Jesus was born. First of all, God became visible. If he was God manifest in the flesh, born of a virgin, you could see him. He became visible. Someone said, "Show me God and I'll follow him." I can show you God. It happened 2,000 years ago in a manger when Christ was born into this world. Jesus is God. Amen. Little boy was getting ready for bed one night and it was dark. And he expressed his fears to his mother and said, "Please don't turn the light out." "Oh, honey, you don't have to be afraid. Don't you know that God's here with you?" And he said, "I'd really like somebody with a face, Mom." We live that same way in this world today. We want to make God some inanimate person way off that we can't see. But Jesus was here. He walked amongst us. And because he came to this earth, God was visible. God could be seen of all of those around. That's why he was not only seen of angels, he was seen of men, preached to men and testified to men. God became visible on that first Christmas. On that first Christmas, God became understandable. Not that he lacked understanding. We lack understanding. We put him up so high and so far that we feel like God doesn't understand what I'm going through. God doesn't understand my needs. God can't fully understand the things that I'm going through. But because God became flesh, you'll never have a trial that God doesn't understand. Because God became flesh, you'll never have a pain that God has not felt. Because God became flesh, there'll never be a tribulation in your life that God doesn't know what you're going through. Because God became flesh, he understands everything that we battle, from the sorrows and the problems of life to all of the trials. God understands. He understands everything going on in your life. The problem with a lot of folks, they say, "Preacher, you just don't understand." And that's the truth. There's things that I can't understand. There's things that you go through that I'll never understand. We all come from different backgrounds. We've all been involved in different types of sin. Some of the things you're involved in, maybe I've never been involved in. And I can't understand. There's things that you're battling that I can understand. There's people that are hurting, people that are lonely, people that go through things. And as a preacher, I can't fully understand it. But you mark this down. God understands. He was tempted in all points like we are tempted, yet without sin, the Scripture says. God understands and is able to help you in your time of need. God became visible. God became understandable. Tell you the third thing. God became available. Shepherd says, where's he at? He's right there. All you have to do is go to him. This availability thing is important. You know that? It's very important. I had the terrible, terrible task of shopping yesterday. I had to do much repenting through the night last night to be able to get in the pulpit this morning. This is not the happiest time of the year for some folks. Put them behind a cart at Walmart, they think they're invincible. Get out of my way, death's coming your way. And God forbid you accidentally step in line in front of someone or take a parking place too quick. Somebody say amen right there. Thank you. We've got one amen in the crowd. But we finally determined. Do you all? Every family has this. There's always that one, isn't there? There's always that one that you just can't find what to get for them. Do you have anyone like that in your family? They've got everything. What do you get them? What do they want? They never want anything. They never say that what they want. You don't know what they want. And then you finally find the perfect gift. And nobody has it. 6 stores yesterday we were in. They had it on display. I could hold it. I could touch it. I could see the price of it. But they said, sorry, sir, we don't have any more. I said, of course you have more. Right here's one. That's for display. Well, sell me this one. We can't, sir. Why? Because then we wouldn't have anything to display. You don't have anything to sell anyway. Sell me the display. Well, we wouldn't know what to ask for it. I'll pay full price for it. Just don't make me go to another store. Please. Sorry, sir. We don't have the box. I'll make a box. Hey, it's a sad day when you're on your knees in Walmart begging the guy to cut the cable to let you have the gift. It's there. You can touch it. You can see it. Hey, but it's not that way with God. Everything He offers, He'll give. Everything He offers, He never runs out of. It's available anytime, all the time. All you have to do is come and ask Him for it. It's available. Then you've got those others that they let you know what they want. Little fella, I heard about him. He kept saying to his mom and dad, he wanted this special watch. I want this watch. And he'd name it. And finally, it just got to the point where they heard about it so much, they were sickened by it. The dad looked at him and said, if you mention one more thing about that watch, he said, I'm telling you, there's no way you're going to get it for Christmas. One more time. Do you understand me? The boy said, yes, Dad, I understand. He made it through the day. He didn't mention anything about the watch. Dinner time come. The little boy said, would it be okay if I pray tonight? Oh, they were thrilled. Why, sure, son. He said, if you don't mind, I'd like to quote a verse of Scripture. Mark 13:37 is on my heart. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Let's pray. They have their way, don't they? They get it across some way to us. There's some that, you know, they just have that doubt that they're really going to get it when they ask for it. I've seen some folks that they doubt if God can really give it to them. And then I've seen others that they'll ask for it, but they have doubt that He'll really provide it. Some thinks He doesn't have it. Some thinks He has it, but He won't give it to them. That's not true. God is available to give you what you need. What do you need? I'll tell you what we all need. We all need forgiveness. That's why God was manifest in the flesh. Every one of us need forgiveness. It's a dangerous thing to get to a place where you think you're too good for God to save. Because that's the kind of person that will face eternity in hell without God forever. Because they feel they're too good. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care what anyone may tell you. There's no way you can strive to a place of perfection to save yourself. We've all gone astray. We're all sinners. That's why God was manifest in the flesh. God with us to die for us that we could be with Him forever. It's a promise of God's Word. A lot of you probably remember Ray LaSalle. He held a revival or two here for us. I communicate a lot with Ray. We'll call, we'll email. Ray sent me a letter from a little boy this week. A letter that he got. And I want you just to listen to what the little fellow said in his letter. It was a letter to Santa Claus. And this is what the little guy said. Dear Santa, there are 3 boys living at my house. Jeffrey is 2. David is 4, and Norman is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. And Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman. When I read that, I laughed. But I thought to myself, how many people come to God and they'll say, this one is good some of the time, and this one is good some of the time, but
oh God, I've been good all of the time. No, we've all sinned, and we all need a Savior, and we all need forgiveness, and that's why God was manifest in the flesh. Something else that we need is not only forgiveness, we need peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind, peace in a troubled world. Someone has said there's three things that will rob you of your peace: grief, grudges, and guilt. I thought that was pretty good. Through this Christmas time, the thing that will take the peace from most people, a lot of people, is grief. I mentioned it last Sunday, and I'm going to say it again. It is a sad time when your family's not here with you. But had God not been manifest in the flesh, we'd have no hope of being with our loved ones forever. So Christmas doesn't bring grief. It removes grief. And what about that thing, guilt? What about that terrible thing, guilt? There's so many people that cannot understand that God has the ability to not only forgive, but to forget about their sins. One of the most fascinating toys that I ever saw in all my life as a boy growing up was an Etch-a-Sketch. Do y'all remember the Etch-a-Sketch? Sit there with those two little wheels. I can't draw at all, but boy, I was wicked on an Etch-a-Sketch. You could turn those little wheels each way and draw anything you wanted and say anything you wanted. But if you went the wrong way one time and you messed up, what could you do? Turn it upside down and shake it. Turn it back over and guess what? It was brand new to start all over again. Oh, thank God. I'm glad for the day that God turned my life upside down. And when He flipped me back over, I was brand new with a brand new start, that I could start life with the peace of mind that my sin was forgiven and the guilt was gone and that I was ready to meet God. Amen. What about those grudges? Boy, it sure got quiet there, didn't it? No more amens. Those old things you harbor in your heart. Have you ever noticed they get worse at Christmas time? Because you're harboring that grudge. And sometimes you have to buy a gift for somebody that you worked all year long on holding a grudge against. Isn't that a sight? That's the most horrible thing in the world, is to go buy a gift for someone that you've held a grudge against. There's people, families, that won't speak to each other through Christmas. I'm not talking about because of distance of mouths. It's distance of heart. Something happened somewhere. And if you ask some of them, it's gone on for 30 or 40 years maybe. And if you ask them why, they couldn't tell you why. They don't know how it all started. They don't know where it all started. They don't know why the grudge came into their life. But it's real and it's there. And every year it gets worse. I said it a few years ago. The greatest thing that you could probably give someone if you're holding a grudge this Christmas is a Christmas pardon. If they have wronged you in some way, don't write a Christmas pardon and say, "I was right and you was wrong, but I'm going to forgive you anyway." That's not what a Christmas pardon is. A Christmas pardon says there's nothing that should destroy our love, our friendship, our family. I used to wonder why on certain days that people don't have a lot of their family. You know, used to at Christmas time, when you got to Christmas time, I know Howard sat on the front of this platform for years and has worked in church all of his life. Christmas time was the big time, Howard, when families would get all their other family come. They couldn't get them to come any other day of the year. They could get them to come at Christmas. And you don't see a whole lot of that, the pews filling up at Christmas time or Mother's Day or Father's Day. or Easter. Very few invite anyone to bring them in. It's the church's job to advertise, and that's how people come. That's not how it works. And then it dawned on me, because of a lot of grudges that people hold with neighbors and with loved ones and with people near them, they can't invite them to come. If I'd been mean to my neighbor all year long, my invitation means nothing to them. Nothing. You say, you don't know what they've done to me. That's true. I'll give you that. But you don't know what that grudge will do to you. It is a cancer of your soul that will absolutely eat you alive. Until all of life is darkened and bittered and there's no peace. You may not be perfect in everybody's eyes, but we sure can do the best we can to show the love of God to people. And I've said it hundreds of times from this pulpit, and I'll say it again today. I cannot make anybody love me, but I can make it hard for people not to love me. That's in my control. If they don't love me, they'll have to choose to do that over every opportunity that I extend to them to love me. Our love is not a reciprocating love. They don't have to show kindness to us for us to show kindness back. That's not how God did it. We had shown Him no kindness at all. This world had crucified Him. But thank God He still loved us. And He still loves us today. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord, for being my Savior. Thank You, God, for coming to this world. God is the only one that has the power to take those things out of our life forever. Amen. Nobody else can do it. Get rid of the grudges. God manifest in the flesh. What?